A lot. I actually came to know him when I was 13 years old, and I think there's a ton of you in this room that are maybe around that age, right? Yeah? I absolutely came to know who Jesus was, and it was just so exciting, and I went into high school, and I was just like on fire, so reading my Bible. It's super exciting. Junior high I didn't really like so much, but I love junior hires because I know that you guys have the capacity to understand who Jesus is, and I'm so excited to dive into the Word this morning. So if you would just open your Bibles up to Matthew 5, we are going to continue in the series Unpopular Jesus. And I'm understanding that you are going through the Sermon of the Mount, which is the biggest sermon that Jesus has ever preached in his life, I think. But the most people that were there, and you imagine that there's like all these crowds there, right? And I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that. And one thing that I noticed when I was actually studying this passage was that the crowds weren't there when Jesus started teaching. And I was kind of like, what the heck? And so I want to look at Matthew 5, verse 1. If you would like to look there, it's okay if you have a Bible app on your phone, but if I see any of this, know that you're on Instagram or Facebook or even that Vine thing. It's like that new video Instagram thing. I don't know. I'm still learning about it. But Matthew 5:1. Are you guys ready? Be with me. Okay. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. When I read that, I was like, wait, I totally thought the crowds were already there. Because when people were teaching me about the Sermon on the Mount, they're like, yeah, Jesus had these huge crowds, and he's on this hillside, and everybody's there teaching him already. But it just says here that when Jesus saw the crowds, then he went up on the mountainside. And then he's teaching his disciples. So I'm like, where's the crowds? And so this is the one thing that I noticed, because when I was studying for this sermon today, I actually read the entire sermon, and then I realized that it wasn't until later that the crowds came. And so Matthew 5:28 actually is saying, like, I'm sorry, not Matthew 5, Matthew 7:28. It's two chapters over, after the Sermon on the Mount is finished. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And I was like, oh, so the crowds weren't even there when he started teaching this. And so what I wanted to do this morning, to paint a picture, I met my good friend who loves Disneyland, and I met in the bathroom. Her name's McKenna, and so I want her to come up actually on stage, if you could. Is that okay? Okay, wait, notice where, sit down for a second. Okay, notice where McKenna is sitting. Can we all see McKenna? Can we see, you can, but can all of you guys over there, can you see her? Like, sort of, not really. Okay, McKenna, stand up. All right, come here. Okay, so I'm imagining that this is what Jesus is doing. He's being extremely strategic about where he's placing himself. And so we know that in Matthew 4, okay, we're painting a picture here. Are you ready? Are you nervous? Okay. You good? Okay. So we know that in Matthew 4 that Jesus is healing a ton of people. I'm actually going through a study with junior hires and high school and college students on Wednesday nights, and we're studying the book of Mark. And the book of Mark kind of gives more details about this passage, and he's talking about how Jesus is healing people, and because he's healing people, it's hard for Jesus to get alone. And people are, like, seeing Jesus, like we're seeing McKenna right now, and, like, they're running up to him because they're noticing who he is. And so what he's doing is he's placing himself on a mountainside strategically so that these people know that they're there, that he's there. And so, like, we have McKenna up here. We could not see her down there, all of you guys. But now everyone can see her, correct? So imagine this is Jesus. Jesus walked all the way up on this hillside, and he's showing himself to people, and he's teaching the disciples right in this front row. And then everyone sees him, and they're like, oh, Jesus is speaking. Yes, I'm there. I'm going to be there because I want to hear what this guy has to say because he is awesome. He's been healing people, and I've been hearing about it. Right? Okay, you can go sit down. Thank you so much. You are awesome. Give her a hand. So that is the where of why he is strategic. He is placing himself in a strategic spot because he wants people to see him and hoping that the results will happen, that people will come and hear his message, of which they did. And second, how Jesus is strategic is the how in which he teaches. He is teaching, first of all, you guys went through these passages, the Beatitudes, and you heard that? They're like, the blessed are the poor in heart, or the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we have all of these passages. And then he says in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then after that, he's talking about the salt of the earth and the light of the world, which you guys studied a couple weeks ago. And then he goes into the fulfillment of the law. So I'm imagining that at this point, that is when the people are starting to filter in, because he's teaching to his disciples, and I'm just imagining all these people coming to hear what Jesus has to say. And so I want to invite us just to hear what Jesus has to say this morning. And so I just want to pray before we go any further. Is that okay? I just feel like that is something that I really want to do. So if you could bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm just going to pray for us this morning. God, I just thank you so much for what you have to say this morning. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that is sharper than a double-edged sword, Lord Jesus, and that you want to teach us something this morning, Lord, just about who you are and about what you require of us. And God, we just come with humble hearts this morning and ask that you would just teach us. So I just pray that you would just give us wisdom and understanding this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we've got the fulfillment of the law, and this is when the people are here. And a lot of these people come from a Jewish culture, and Jesus is Jewish. If you didn't know that, fun fact, I didn't know that either in junior high. But Jesus is Jewish, and he's teaching to people that are Jewish, and he's teaching to people that maybe aren't. And we don't know what these crowds are or who they are that are actually coming. Some believe in him, some probably don't. But Jesus is like, hey, I got a word for all of you, whether you believe in me or not. And so he's teaching, and he's saying, hey, guess what? I have not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. And so he's saying, hey, I'm going to teach you a little bit more about what I'm saying in my word and what God has already said before me, what God and how he sent all the people, like the prophets, like Isaiah and Moses and like all these people that are preaching God's word. I am going to add on to what they are already saying. And so with that, he's talking about this idea of murder, and then we come to this idea of adultery. And if you know anything about murder or adultery, you know that they are in the Ten Commandments, which is the law that God had given to Moses on the mountain. And he came down and he brought them to the Israelites, who he was freeing from Egypt to go into the Promised Land in the Old Testament. So if you know who Moses is, this is what he did. And God gave him 10 things about how to have a relationship with him. It wasn't something that is God's just saying, hey, I don't want you to do this, and just because I don't want you to do it. He's like, here's something so I can show you how to have a relationship with me. So when we get into the text room, I'm actually talking about adultery this morning. I got the privilege of talking about that to you. So I am looking at right now verse 27, and we are going to go through 27 and 28 and then 29 and 30. Okay, so it's just a couple, four short verses. And so if you are at verse 27, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, now I want to stop there, because Jesus is like, okay, I'm getting that seventh commandment out of the Ten Commandments that Moses had gave, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. And so he takes it, and then he says, that anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery there in his heart. So I want to back up just a little bit and talk about what adultery actually is. And because we don't really hear that in our society today, we're like, oh yeah, I just like committed adultery. Like, nobody says that. It's like, it's this word that we synonymously meaning the same, a similar word, is cheating. So we reference that word as cheating. So if someone says like, oh, so-and-so cheated on me, or my mom cheated on my dad, or something like that, that is considered adultery. Adultery is when a man or a woman cheats on his or her spouse with someone else, whether they are married or not. So essentially having an affair with somebody. And before I go any further, I just wanted to touch on that, because I realize that that might be something that is a touchy subject for you in this room. Maybe that has happened with your parents. Maybe you've been really hurt by it. And I just wanted to stop and just address that, because I know of a lot of people in my life that have suffered from this. And I just wanted to say that I'm really sorry, because God did not intend for that to happen to you. And I really want you to know that. Okay. And so, verse 28, this is how Jesus expands on this passage in saying that anyone who looks at someone lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And now, it says, anyone who looks at a woman, considering like a man maybe, but this goes for both men and women, this men and women. So I'm not exempt from this, and neither are any of you girls in this room. So I just wanted to put that into perspective. And Jesus is talking actually to a society that is similar to ours in that we have a sexualized culture. And they didn't think, the culture back then, besides the Jews, so the Jews were the only ones saying, hey, don't commit adultery. And everyone else was just like, it's not really that big of a deal. They didn't value what God valued. Like, the same thing in our culture. Our culture today in our world doesn't value the things that God values. It doesn't value the things that are pure and right and honorable. And it doesn't value necessarily commitment to someone else that is your spouse. And so you might be thinking, Kristen, okay, I'm in junior high. I don't have a spouse. How the heck does this relate to me? And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this morning because it's talking about lust, which is something that is inside and it is a sinful thing. And Jesus attacks that. And so he's kind of putting us all on the same playing field, whether we are married, whether we are not, whether we are in a committed relationship or not. So God is just saying, like, hey, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. And it doesn't matter if you're married or not, this is all for you to hear. And so God, or Jesus, is talking about this idea of lust. And lust is something that is a sinful desire that causes adultery to happen. So there's lust that begins in the heart, and then there is the sinful desire acting on it, which is adultery. And so what he's doing here is he is attacking a heart issue. So he's saying, he attacks two things, and which is our eyes and which is our heart. And so when he's teaching, he's saying that we need to have both of those into perspective. So for me, have I actually committed adultery? I'm not married, but no. So no, I have not. I have not cheated on my spouse with somebody else directly. But have I looked at a man to lust after him before? Yes. And so what God is doing is he is putting us all on this playing field of the same thing, saying, like, we all have sinful desires, and that is the thing that we need to attack in our heart. And so what I want you to do this morning is just close your eyes for a second. And I'm going to ask you two questions before I continue. So with your eyes closed, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And second, what does he want to say to me this morning? What does he want to say to me this morning? Okay, you can open your eyes. I wanted to do that because I really feel like sin is a heavy issue, and it's something that we don't necessarily like to talk about, and it's a heavy subject, and it's like, okay, I know that God doesn't want sin, but I am so sinful. And I wanted you to reevaluate your perspective this morning and ask the question, what does Jesus want to say to me? Because I believe that Jesus wants to say something to us this morning about this issue. Because if we go on in verse 29, it says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Okay, whoa, Jesus, whoa. Okay, I don't know of anybody who's actually gouged out their eye, like maybe put a fork or a knife in their eye and just went, oh my gosh, I looked at somebody and I lusted, oh crap. Okay, I've never seen that, and I've never seen somebody have their right arm or their right hand and be like, shoot, I did something that made me commit adultery or cheat on somebody, so I'm just going to cut it off. I've never, ever seen that. But what Jesus is doing here is he is addressing the seriousness of sin. He is saying, hey, this is a serious issue, and I want you to realize that. I want you to realize that this is serious. Because what we do when we sin, and sin is the selfish desire inside that I was talking about, so lust. But in general, sin is basically a selfish desire that we want to do no matter what, no matter how it affects us in the long run, no matter how it affects others, and no matter how it affects God. It is something that is very selfish and so very fleshly, because we talk about being, we are people of flesh, but then we also want to live by the Spirit, and so we're constantly battling with this, and I get that. But what is the first thing we do when we sin? First thing we do when we think maybe something that is a bad thought or something that we did and we're just like, oh shoot, I don't wanna go under that guilt trip, so I'm gonna justify it. And we think, okay, but you just don't understand. It was just that one time. It was like, you just don't get it. It was because of this that happened. And Jesus is saying, no. He's cutting through all of that crap. He's saying, guess what? You sin. Like, doesn't matter. It is so serious to me, and it is something that I care about and I don't want you to do. And so what I want you to think about this morning is that God has given you this book, which is the Bible. And if you don't have one, you need to get one. I'm sure the church would give you one if you don't have one. But imagine it being like playing a game. Are there any game people in here? Because I'm a huge game person. That is something that me and my family do a lot. When I go over to my family's house and we actually play games. And so imagine you're playing a game, a board game. What's the first, and it's new, and it's brand new, and you have to open the saran wrap, and what's the first thing you do because you don't know how to play it? Okay. Who said, say something louder. You read the instructions. Yes, because you want to know how to play it. So if we want to follow God, God's saying, hey, guess what? Here's your instructions. Here's how you do it. And that's why he's given this to us. It's not something to be like, guess what? You're so sinful. Guess what? I don't want you to do these things, but here's how you have a relationship with me. Here's how you follow me. And so I need you to read this. I need you to. And so this is what God is saying to us in this sense about sin. And so we think we feel so guilty with our sin, right? When we do something wrong, we're just like, oh, I screwed up. And I feel so bad when I do. And sometimes I don't even realize that I'm doing it. And there's sometimes that I do. But God is so gracious to us, you guys. And he's given us his word to know how to be in line with him. And he's like, hey, if you mess up, I have grace for you. And I want you to know that. But with this idea of lust and with this idea of adultery, how do we get past that? How do we do something that is different than that? What is the opposite of lust? What is the opposite of that? And I think the first step is just surrendering to God and just saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like if we've texted somebody something inappropriately, if we've looked at something inappropriately on the computer, if we've touched somebody inappropriately, if we even thought about someone inappropriately, God's saying that is the exact same thing. So I think the one thing that we have to do is just be like, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I can't do it alone. I need your help. And that's why we need God. And so with that, I believe that is the first thing that we need to do. The second thing, in light of surrendering to God, in light of saying, hey, God, I am so sorry, the next thing we need to do is to avoid a couple things, because we know that our society is so sexualized. There are things on PG-13 movies now that I'm like, that would be rated R when I was like 11. And now this is PG-13, and I'm seeing things that I'm like, wow. Like, that is wild. And I just remember this one time. I actually went on a date with this guy a couple years ago. I'm not married. So I went on a date with this guy a couple years ago, and it was like our first date. And we go to dinner, and then we go to a movie, and we have a great time at dinner. We're talking, blah, blah, blah. And we go see this movie, and it's PG-13, and we're sitting there, and it's so awkward because this is like our first date, okay? And this full-on sex scene comes on, and I'm like, oh, no. This is so awkward. And what he did, and I believe that this is something that is so honorable and something that is valuing the idea of purity, a purity of mind and purity of heart, and saying, like, you know what? I'm going to flee from these things. I'm going to not pay attention to them. And so what he did was he grabbed my hand and he looked at me during that scene. And I was just like, okay, this is a little awkward, but that's very honorable because he didn't want either of us to see what was going on in that screen. He just took me and he just looked at me. And so, guys, if you were taking a girl to a movie, maybe that's something to take note of, because that is awesome. And then, yeah. And so the second thing, and this applies to both of us, both boys and girls, but mostly girls, but it's in the idea of what we wear. What message are we sending? Are we dressing modestly enough that we're not causing each other to stumble in this area, that we're not causing each other to think that, like, things that are sexual about each other? I actually coach track and field at the high school back in Laguna Beach, which is the city north of Dana Point. And I'm coaching track and field right now, and these girls are wearing, like, short shorts. And I'm like, oh, man, like, that is not something that I wear. And these guys are, like, running, and so they're, like, taking off their shirts because it's hot. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, if I was in high school, and if I was a guy or a girl, like, I'd be just thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking. And so what I wanted to just challenge you this morning, that if you are not wearing things that are very honorable and respectable to your brothers or sisters in Christ, please start doing that. That's something that me and my boyfriend have been practicing, because lust is something that I did struggle with. And I said, next time I got in a relationship, I didn't date anyone for 2 years, and I just started dating someone a year and a couple months ago. And it has been awesome, but that is something that we have been practicing, and we've been saying, if this is an issue, we cannot be together. And so we've been very honest with each other and saying, hey, maybe, like he said to me this one time, like, I wasn't wearing anything inappropriately, but just things that would, when I sat down, it would move a certain way or whatever, and he's just like, hey, this is really causing me to think things that I shouldn't be thinking. And so I changed how I dressed. And I think that is something that is really, really key. So if we are honest with each other and we're honest with Jesus about this issue, he has such a good plan for us and such a good life for us and such a good thing that we want to be living in. It was this idea of purity and being pure in mind, pure in heart with God and for God and for each other. And so what I wanted to do this morning, just as a closer, is just to pray for you guys and just commission you off, because I know this is a struggle in our society and even in junior high. And it's getting worse and worse, and the age is getting younger and younger. And I am so sorry about that, because that is not cool. But if you just want to close your eyes, I'm going to just pray for us this morning. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for every heart in this room and every person that is hearing your word today and your message. God, we understand the seriousness of sin, and we understand that you don't like it and you don't want it, God, and it causes us to have a relationship with you that is just broken and strayed. So God, I just pray for healing in this room for any of these students in here or leaders that are struggling with this. Lord Jesus, I thank you just that you have grace for us, God, that you have redemption and that you have healing for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for that. God, I just pray as you send them out today that you protect their minds and protect their hearts. God, I just pray and ask for your spirit to be among them and on them and in them. Lord Jesus, that they would be valuing things that are worthy of thinking about, not things that you don't want us to think about. Lord Jesus, I thank you just for every heart in this room, God. I pray that you would protect them. God, I just thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And I just ask, God, that you would just be with us and in us, God. Allow us just to have a relationship with you that is firm and prosperous and fruitful. In your name we pray. Amen.